Hey Postables, you're listening to Deliver Me a Podcast, brought to you by Casey, Jess, and Cammy.
A special thanks to James Jandrish for letting us use the music on our show.
Now, sit back, relax, grab a Yoo-hoo and a stamp collection, and here we go.
Welcome back, Postables! Jess and I are here with the fabulous, wonderful Kristen Booth. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody.
As you can see, Cammy is not with us. She is actually filming something, so go spam her Twitter and tell her to break a leg.
Yeah.
Hey, Cammy. Yes. So, Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're so excited to talk to you today about all
That's
of the...
my absolute pleasure.
Yes. A lot of things have happened since we talked to you last year. I think it was May 2020. Where we spoke to you last, and lots have happened.
In the midst of the lockdown, actually.
Yes. 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 And your interview was the day before I had my tonsillectomy. So like, it's a very,
it's very memorable.
Yes. Yes. It's a very memorable time. But you have done so many things, and you have so many things coming up. You have, you worked on Working Moms, which Cheryl is cray cray, and you do such an amazing job with her.
Thank you.
And you've done The Wrong Wedding Planner, which Jess and I just, we loved.
It was fantastic. And we got to talk about, to Crystal about it too. And she mentioned how you guys could not get through the scene where you had to drag her up the stairs.
No. And I was going to strangle her because she is a light person. Like, she's tiny, but when you're carrying dead weight, you know, like that, it was a lot. And she kept laughing and we'd have to start again. And from the bottom of the stairs, and I'd be like, dude, stop laughing. I'm dying here.
You got your arm workout for the day for sure.
Oh, everything. And the next day, my back was, I just was like, oh my God. It was brutal. Fun, but brutal.
Yeah. We can tell you guys had a lot of fun with that.
We really did. I have to say, there was something so freeing about working in that way with your best friend. There was so, like, there's obviously so much trust between us. So we never had to wonder like, oh, can I try something out that, you know, isn't planned or what have you. And it was such a small little crew that we worked with. Like literally we were in this house shooting this thing with maybe 10 people for 5 days straight, except for the one day where we shot the wedding and the two different weddings and the restaurant, where those days there were more people, but it was just such a treat. We had so much fun.
Yeah. I think we need a sequel because it kind of was left on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
I know.
I totally agree. I told them, I said, we need The Wrong Honeymoon. It has to happen.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Mandy needs to come back.
I agree.
Yes. And you are so good at playing the villain. I mean, going from Shane, which we get, like, I'm the swoony one. Jess is not as swoony as I am, but like when you're Shane, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, swoony. And then Mandy, and it was like a bam
kick.
I was like, whoa.
You know, it's funny. I think it's because for so long in my career, I never got the opportunity to play the bad guy. I was always the girl next door, the ingenue. And then it wasn't until I got cast in Orphan Black as Bonnie that I got a chance to really play someone evil. Mm-hmm. And I think that opportunity and job opened up others. And now it's like, now people can at least see me that way. Whereas before, I don't think they could even picture it, but I love it. I, as an actor, it's such a fun thing to play something so opposite of who you are in real life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of need more of like villain Kristen.
Me too. Bring it on. I'm ready.
We're also really excited to see you on The Hot Zone, which I believe is going to be on Hulu in a few weeks.
It is. Yes. November 28th. And that is an incredible limited series, sort of mini series about the anthrax attacks right after 9/11. And I personally didn't know, I obviously knew that those had occurred, but I didn't know a lot of details about what had happened and why and who. And it was quite fascinating to do my research for that and learn so much more about what had happened. Because so much in the media was being focused on the events of 9/11, which of course you can understand why. But then people were being killed by these envelopes in the mail, and the storyline behind that, the man responsible and his motivations, it's all quite fascinating. You know, truth is stranger than fiction so many times, and this is definitely one of those times. So it's a fascinating thing to watch. And Daniel Day Kim and Tony Goldwyn star in it, and they are incredible. Yeah. So it's a good one to watch.
Yeah,
it's super we'll be on the lookout for it.
Yes. So speaking of versatile characters, you have booked a role on The Boys. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's. Griffin, stop barking at me. Come on. If you want to come up, come up. Come on. No? He's just going to bark at me. Yeah, The Boys. So that it still really feels almost like it didn't happen. I'm not going to lie. Although I spent the last 6 months or 5 months working on that, I wasn't able to talk about it publicly or even with friends. And it almost feels like it didn't happen, like it was some sort of weird dream. but yes, it was probably one of the most incredible, fascinating, off the chart sort of roles and jobs experiences that I've ever had, because I got to play a superhero. And the show is so good. I was a fan before I was cast, and there were moments where I was just like, this isn't real. I'm not actually here. Like I don't get starstruck that often, but I felt a little bit like, oh my God, I love this one of The Boys. So yeah, no, I can't wait for it to come out, because it's just going to be, it is so, so we talk about playing characters. Playing characters different than myself, and this one just takes the cake as far as like the genre of the show and the character. And although I have to warn postables, it is not science sealed delivered, and I strongly encourage, before you decide to watch season 3, which I am featured in, that you watch season 1 and 2. And if you have an issue with things in the show, do not watch season 3. Like just don't do it. But if you can handle it, great. It's phenomenal writing. It's great acting. And just so honored to be a part of that incredible show.
Yeah. And that comes out in 2022, season 3.
At some point. They don't have a date yet. Okay. They actually even haven't released a season 3 trailer yet. So they're talking that the release could actually be as late as summer 2022, because they just have so much work to do in post and stuff. So, and of course, COVID slowed everything down. And but it's something to look forward to for sure, for those that can handle it.
Okay. Yes. And you can check that out on Amazon Prime. You can check out season 1 and season 2 on Amazon Prime if you are in the US. So
yeah. In Canada too.
Oh, and in Canada. Perfect.
Yep. It's on Amazon Prime in Canada as well.
Okay. Awesome.
Great. All right. So I know Postables, you guys want the scoop on the latest movie, just this tiny little movie that we've been waiting forever for.
For a little bit of time.
The Vows We Have Made. And oh my goodness, that movie was everything. Like it tops
the movie that leaves you without words at the end. You just don't even know. Like, you're just so full of emotion.
Yeah. This was my reaction when I watched the end. I just sat there. Justin and Cammy can testify.
Yeah, we watched it together.
Yeah. Completely dumbfounded in the best way possible.
Yeah. I have to admit, every time I've seen it, I've been weepy at the end.
Yes. Oh my goodness. There's so much character growth with all of the postables. And there's so much heart, and there were so many kisses in this movie.
Yeah, there were a lot of kisses. And I just have to say, because of COVID, the protocol was that before and during any of those kissing scenes, we had to mouthwash with this terrible, almost like bleach for your mouth. And then every 30 minutes subsequently, we had to re-gargle with it for 30 seconds each time. And so there were some scenes where we were shooting all day, and like, so every 30 minutes for a day, Eric and I were like swishing this god awful substance. And there was a moment where I just had too much, and I like, it was halfway through the day, and I literally was like, gagging.
I can imagine. Bad.
That's terrible.
The things that we do for you guys.
I know, we're over here on the other side of the screen going like, oh, this is so romantic.
Yeah, no, well, yes and no.
Right. So I have to ask, the dancing scene, the DLO scene, which is my absolute favorite scene ever. In the entire series, there's just so much.
In the whole canon.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yes. I mean, you both did such an amazing job with Shane, and she's just so elated. And then all of a sudden, like, mood shifts just like that. And then with Oliver and his growth in that time, and then the music, and then kissing, and the dancing, and the montage. It's so much.
Yeah,
so much.
When you describe it like that, yeah, I guess there was a lot going on, wasn't there?
It really was. I have to ask, did you guys dance to music?
We did.
Okay. So did you dance to that particular song, or did you dance to a fake song?
No, we danced to that song. Okay. Now, I can't remember if there may have been a few takes where they didn't have the music playing because of like the sound, like technical sound, so that there wasn't going to be music over any dialogue kind of thing. But we did get to, sorry, Griffin's just having a moment over in the corner here. we did get to dance to the actual song several times.
Okay. I was wondering, because I know sometimes it's not possible, or they don't know what song's going to be playing in the background. So I was curious on that.
No, Martha knew. Well, Martha always knows.
Yes.
Martha knew, and we did have that opportunity. So that was good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Quiet.
He's so funny. Sorry.
It's ridiculous. He's just like attacking a blanket over in the corner.
He just wants to see presence now.
He wants attention. He knows I am not focused on him, and he's angry. And so he's trying to draw attention.
Yeah. And now
it's like having a toddler, I tell you.
Yeah. That's so funny. My dog does the same thing. Sometimes he'll just growl really loud when I'm, you know, in a meeting or something. And I'm like, that was not me. Don't look at me like that.
He's having a real bad day. He's growling.
Or his stomach will rumble. And I'm like, you know.
Not me, really.
Promise, I swear. So I know you shared this previously on one of the Instagram lives you did with Gabrielle and Sarah. But for those of who aren't on Instagram, can you share a little bit about finding Shane's dress and the new necklace?
Yes. So the wedding dress. So we didn't know who our wardrobe designer was going to be, whether or not Val Halverson, who's become a dear friend and the person that I wanted to work on this movie with more than anything. We didn't know if she was going to be available because it was all pretty rushed and she had other commitments. And so I said to Martha, I said, you know what, here's some ideas that I like. I went online and looked at a bunch of wedding dresses and I found these designs by Jenny Yu in New York. And I really, really fell in love with some of her dresses. And then I looked at the price tags of them and went, oh my God, that's not going to happen. But I put my little thinking cap on and I got, industrious. And I started calling around bridal shops in and around Toronto area and that sold Jenny Yu, and found out that there were a couple that were selling samples. So also because even if we could have afforded an original Jenny Yu, we didn't have enough time. There wasn't enough lead up to order it and have it made. So I drove around to these places trying on dresses, and I found this, the one that we ultimately chose. It was probably the 10th dress that I had tried on. And, so many were beautiful. They're all gorgeous, but this one I put on and stood in front of the mirror and I said, you know, it needs a little belt. And she said, oh, I have something. Let me grab it. And she went and she grabbed this little belt and I'm, oh my gosh, yeah, that's perfect. And then she said, oh, wait, let me put a veil on. And when she put the veil on, I actually started to cry. Which is ridiculous, but I had an emotional reaction. Like I was like, that's it. That's Shane's wedding dress. That's how I envision it. That's what it should be. So I sent photos to Martha. She loved it. It was her pick as well, because I sent other ones, like five other dresses, and that was her pick as well. And then we had to wait to get network approval and producer approval. And so I was terrified that the dress was going to sell because it's one, right? There's just one sample. And anyway, finally got it and we got the dress. And then we did do a few little altercations to it in the sense of it's a very low cut dress. It has this stunning V, but for Hallmark, it's a bit low, but it did have tulle, like this one single layer of tulle in it. And so it's not bare skin, it is covered. So I thought, oh, that'll be okay. But they were still like, no. So Val, who's an incredible, incredible designer, she did this beautiful thing with ribbon here in the in the breastbone, and then tied it in with ribbon bows on each shoulder, and then matched the belt rhinestones with little rhinestones in the shoulders as well. So it was a real collaboration, this dress. And I think in the end it's just so perfect for Shane. And then the story behind the new necklace, if you haven't seen it yet, Shane is given a gift from Oliver, and it is a timepiece that she is to wear around her neck. And so obviously this has to be something that's delicate enough that would align with Shane's sensibilities, fashion wise, and, you know, aesthetically pleasing, and, you know, not heavy, all that kind of stuff. And we had a bunch of options brought in by the property master, and I just kept being like, that doesn't work. There was one that was just really large, like it was not large so much like this, but large, like a ball kind of thing. And it was just felt like that's too heavy, not feminine enough for Shane. And then there was a locket that wasn't an actual timepiece, but they were planning on doing something with it to like fake it. And that was, I was kind of like, maybe. But nothing was really perfect. And so then our amazing, like we had so many wonderful sort of collaborative type of experiences on this movie, especially, and our wardrobe, property master, me, she said, well, I have one more thing to show you. And so she said, just before I show it to you, this was my grandmother's. It is an actual working time piece. She left it to me when she passed. And this one got me. And she was a fan of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, loved the character of Shane, and we watched it together, the show. And she opened the box, and it was, my breath was, it took my breath away. It was so perfect and so stunning that I just was like, how is this possible? So talk about divine delivery, because then all she had to do was add this little charm, which in the end, because she obviously didn't want to engrave forever into her grandmother's family heirloom, but all we had to do was add this little charm to it that said forever. And it was perfect because it actually mirrored Shane's original signature necklace by the right hand gal. So it could not have ended up being more perfect, is basically the story behind that. And you know, I got a call actually from Randy, one of the sisters who owns and runs Right Hand Girl. And she said, I heard that Shane's signature necklace has been removed. She took it off. And I was like, yes, but I said, I have no idea what that will mean if there are future, you know, installments, but, yes, she did take it off and did put on a gift from Oliver. So anyway, she was pretty like upset about that. I think that's been really cool for them to have this piece that they designed that is on a TV show and with this character that everyone loves so much and can relate to. So I think a lot of people have run out and gotten the protected necklace from the Right Hand Gal. So anyway, interesting story.
For sure. Yeah. Wow. That is such an incredible, meaningful thing for both the dress and the necklace.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of serendipity happening with this, you know, movie, especially with this one. I mean, there have been with almost everything that we've done on that show, but that movie in particular felt like someone was upstairs looking down, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So let's switch gears just a little bit. Now, we know logistically why Alex wasn't incorporated in this movie. Do you think if there were future installments, we would get to see her?
Yeah, where was she?
So in the script, the scene ended up being cut short, so to speak. So the scene where Shane and Oliver enter, Oliver punches the cards, and we're talking to Hazel. That scene in the script was longer than it ended up being in the film. What happened was it continued from the point where they punched the cards and they kept walking together, and Hazel asked Shane what side of the church she should sit on, because she is closer with Shane but has known Oliver longer, so what should she do? And Shane replies by saying, well, my sister is in Europe, so she won't be able to make it, so it's really just my mom, so sit on my side.
I did wonder if it had been addressed and they cut it, so I did wonder that.
And that's exactly what happened. And I do think there's a great opportunity to introduce Alex if we get the chance to do another one, I think. Because there's so much there between Shane and her sister as well. And I thought, I just have to say again, like I've said it before, but I just absolutely thought Sherry knocked it out of the park playing Shane's mom.
Yeah,
she was perfect.
Yes, she was like my favorite. I loved her.
She was hilarious. And like, so that kind of performance as an actor, when I look at something like that, that is a hard thing to pull off, because it's so dry and so, you know, like almost in some cases a little bit could be one note, but she had so many layers and it was so nuanced. And I just thought she did such a wonderful job, and it was really a lot of fun playing mother and daughter with her.
Yeah. I mean, if we get another one, I would love to see her back. I loved her dynamic with Joe. Now I know there's lots of people who are like Joe and Sharon shippers.
I think that's so weird. I don't know if that is a little just too much.
Well, I would never even thought of that.
Okay, if Joe and Sharon got together, then Oliver would be like, this is my wife and my stepsister.
Stepsister? Yeah, no.
That's a little weird. Yeah.
That would be odd. Weird. But they're
making that complicated.
Yeah. Their chemistry as in-laws, though, I thought that was great. So fun. I wish we had more. And I think somebody had alluded to some scenes being cut with Joe and Sharon, and I think some with
Joe and Shane Zach. As well. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just because of time's sake. But hopefully if we get another one, we can see that play out, or maybe the deleted scenes will somehow magically appear in the ether.
That'd be fun. It's funny. Like, I've never, other than the international versions where sometimes there's slightly more to a scene. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know why that is. Maybe they don't have the same length of ads or something, so they have more time, screen time for the show. But anywho, I've actually never ever seen a blooper reel or deleted scenes or anything like that. So I don't know where all that goes, but I've never seen anything.
Well, someone needs to dig it up, because I think we need to see those bloopers.
Yeah. Shandell, Alameda and Downing. She usually gets the international scenes that are cut. So hopefully something will appear in the international version somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
So I know that for some series, when it's long running and there is a couple that, you know, they have this push and pull, and then they get engaged and then they get married, the couple or the actors will do a thing where they won't, where the, like the groom won't see the bride till the wedding while like it's being shot. Did Eric see you in your dress, or as Oliver, did he see you in your dress before you were walking down the aisle or anything like that? Okay.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay.
not to demystify the moment, but yeah. because there's so much that has to be done prior to actually shooting, setting up the camera and the lighting and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a very challenging thing to undertake unless you have a ton of time.
Yeah.
Which we did not.
Yeah. I mean, you guys had a very short time to film this movie. It was
very,
very quick.
Yeah.
Very quick. So that's understandable, but we just had to ask, because, you know, we're all a bunch of romantics. Well, some of us are. Jess is not, but you know. Yeah.
I will tell you one thing though that happened. I don't think I've revealed this yet, so it's kind of a new little reveal. So when we were shooting my coverage, Shane's coverage, so the camera is pointing at me looking at Shane walk down the aisle. So it would be the first time we see Shane in the wedding dress commencing down the aisle. The unbeknownst to me, because it was not in the script and no one mentioned it, they started playing And So It Goes.
Oh.
And I mean, they didn't actually end up using that first take because I was so emotional that it just caught me off guard. And it seemed like such a full circle moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that song unexpectedly while walking down, like it was one of those sort of like surreal moments, just because we have embodied these characters for so long, so many years, and it was a lot of history there.
Yeah.
And hearing that song, it was just like, oh my God.
That's exactly what happens to us every time we hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think the last time we hear it is in Lost Without You,
the chapel.
In the chapel. Mm-hmm. And so it's been and that was a very emotional I mean, that song is just emotional in general. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the song that you, that Shane and Oliver first danced to. It's the song that's played in the chapel and Lost Without You. And then, you know, you're right. It comes full circle and such mm-hmm. a beautiful moment. And it took me off guard. I mean, I probably should have seen it coming, but when they started playing it, I think I just, you know, I cried.
Yeah.
But. Any other fun behind the scenes stories you want to share?
Oh dear. I have no idea, but one thing that was interesting and different about shooting this movie was that we, Eric and Crystal and I, are all on something, you know, Cameo or Cameo-esque, I think, Crystal's on Gemmy app, mm-hmm. Where you can request video messages. So that was the first time we were shooting since that had been invented. So that was really actually, I had a blast doing those behind the scenes little, you know, sort of peaks for people ordering cameos. But at one point it did get in the way of shooting because we would be on a break and I'd be like, oh, this is a great opportunity to do the cameo. Right. And I'd be in the middle of it and everyone be like, we're ready to go, Kristen. Oh my God, I gotta go. I'm so sorry. So that was a little bit, I think they got a little bit frustrated with us doing that, but we ended up being able to manage it and figuring out, like, I would then ask, be like, do I have more than 15 minutes? They're like, yes, you do. Okay, great.
Well, on behalf of all the postables, I mean, thank you so much for taking the time to even do that because, you know, we know that your days are really long, filming. There's 24 hours in a day, and I'm sure you guys spend like 20 of that filming. and there's not a lot of time. So thanks for sacrificing, you know, some of that time to, you know, show us a little behind the scenes and mm-hmm. connect with the fans. Cause I know it meant a lot to of people.
Yeah. And well, it meant a lot to me. I can only speak for myself to be able to do that. Cause it was a lot of fun knowing that we were building the excitement, you know, and that mm-hmm. people could feel like they were a part of it in some way. And, I thought it was a really great, opportunity and tool to build that sort of anticipation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely built the anticipation. If you could only see some of these DMs and messages, like, we're like, okay, take a screenshot, zoom up, what's in the background, what's this, what is she wearing, like, oh, with the wedding dress and the big blue robe, like,
blue there robe, was yeah.
time it, I think it you showed your shoulders and we're like, uh-huh. Okay, what kind of neckline is it? Like, just
urging the detective overnight.
I know.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So definitely hyped up this movie and it did not disappoint. I mean, so thrilled with this. So there are some people out there who think or feel that SSD 11 is the end. And that's like, that's it. There's no more. And I know, mm-hmm. Jess, Cammie and I had talked to Martha and I know she'd mentioned the hardest thing about writing Signed Sealed is the fact that we don't know if there's going to be more. So she has to tie it up in such a way that it's satisfying, but leave open-ended doors so that we, you know, you all can come back and we can have more stories. Mm-hmm. For me, this movie felt more like a pilot in a weird way. Because yes, we are closing kind of the loop on Oliver and his journey, but then we opened so many doors with like Rita and Norman and Charlie and their whole family dynamic. And then of course Oliver mm-hmm. and Shane are married and that's the beginning of a new life together. And yeah. we have there's that the letter at the end, like who knows where the could that have What is that all about? You know, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. there's so many things that I felt, it felt more like a pilot. So what do you think mm-hmm. about this?
Oh, it's such a, you know, I get so many messages saying, is this the end? Please tell me it's not the end. I don't know what I'll do. And you know, first of all, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I really, truly right. don't think any of us, as far, like even Martha knows at this point, the trajectory of the show and whether or not we'll have an opportunity at Hallmark or somewhere else to continue. I had, you know, it's funny. I had both feelings mm-hmm. watching it. I had that feeling of closure, mm-hmm. that it was the end. And then I also, on the flip side, had this overwhelming feeling of renewal in a weird mm-hmm. way, like yeah. that it was a new journey, a new path. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when I was talking with some other interviewers and stuff right prior to the premiere, you know, that's why I talked about the international postables, because I could really see it being something where they really try something else, where they get pushed outside of the DLO so much that they're actually traveling to another country and dealing with, you know, being fish out of water in a way, dealing with other cultures. I think there's so much opportunity there, but it'll all boil down in the end to what the network wants. And really we as the postable family, we just have to relinquish that control in a way. And so I just put it out. I just put positive vibes out into the universe, stay open, mm-hmm. you know, to, like I will welcome this if it comes, but I also, if it doesn't, I feel so much better in a way than I did after To the Altar.
Yeah.
As far as my feeling as an actor playing a character and their journey.
Yeah.
So sure. I hope that answers and doesn't disappoint too many.
No, I mean, it makes complete sense. Cause I mean, a lot of it is up to the network. Yeah. I mean,
in the end, it is their decision.
It's their decision. And so, I mean, what can you do? But I think knowing that you all are open to it and that there are possibilities if the right doors open up for new stories, I think that is an encouragement mm-hmm. to a lot of folks. Cause I did see mm-hmm. a lot of people going, oh no, this is the end of it. I'm like, well, I mean, yes.
Yes.
But
maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I just have to say, while I have an opportunity, I have watched each and every one of the What a Family videos and read them if they are letters and photos. And I haven't been able to comment on all of them or retweet all of them. But just so you all know, postables, I see them all and they're incredible. And I think, you know, the fact that Mandy and Mary Beth and I think Fatula, the people that started that sort of campaign of What a Family, it was such a great idea and so overwhelmingly beautiful to read those personal experiences with the show. And I get, you know, letters and cards and stuff, but it was something even better in a way, seeing people's faces and hearing it from their voice, whether or not mm-hmm. it was a photo and a letter or a video. And I just have to say, I think that was really, really a wonderful way to share how the show has affected people and mm-hmm. how they came to be a postable. Yes. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, even if this is the end of the series, the Postables family that was created will last forever. So
yeah. It'll endure those relationships and the ones, you know, speaking from, you know, Crystal and Jeff and Eric and Martha and I, like the same thing, you know, even if it is the end, we are forever connected and tied as a family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Well, speaking of our one big happy What a Family, some of us in that family will be meeting each other in Palm yes. Beach.
Rama drama.
Yes, Rama drama. I have to admit, I've never participated in something like this before. And so I'm very excited to be able to have the chance to hear and see and talk to people, celebrate as a community, and just be able to celebrate the show. Mm-hmm. And I think, and it's exciting that we're all gonna be able to be there. And again, like, you know, who knows what the future holds, but this is something else that we get to look forward to. And hey, mm-hmm. maybe if it's a big success, maybe it'll be a yearly thing, or every 2 years, yeah. where mm-hmm. we have a big postable convention type thing. That energy and excitement will continue.
Yeah. I know that, like, some kind of postal con had been thrown out there in the universe several years ago. And, you know, mm-hmm. I know there was a little get together, I think Home and Family right before to mm-hmm. the altar, but the fan base has really, really grown mm-hmm. since 2018. I think with the whole series being on Hallmark Movies now, like, that's how I found it.
So I found it too.
Shared it, and then I kind of binged through it. And so it's almost perfect timing, because there are so many postables who are going to this an event in Florida that have they're new postables. So mm-hmm. I think that's really, really exciting for all of us to meet. We'll be there. Cammy will be there. So we're super excited about that. But one important thing that's going to be happening there is the auction for the wedding dress. And right now you are raising money for No Kid Hungry. And yes. I think last I checked, it was, you're very close to 10,000.
Yes, I know. I have to say, when we set the goal, I thought, oh, that's, you know, 10,000. Will we be able to make it? And I thought, you know, with the campaign and the donations, and then in tandem with the silent auction to win Shane's wedding dress, veil, and shoes, I thought, oh, well, maybe we'll make it. But now, seeing that we're over $7,200 towards the 10,000, I actually think we're gonna surpass our 10,000, which mm-hmm. is so exciting for me, because when I thought of the idea of being able to give back to an organization that I feel is imperative and so important right now. Mm-hmm. I came up with the idea about the wedding dress, and then got to collaborate with Rama Drama, which was so great because they have resources that I don't have. And it's really become already a huge success. So mm-hmm. it's very exciting. And I can't wait to be able to hand over the check at the end of all of yeah. it to them. And I was talking to my daughter about it the other day. And I said, you know, think about how many meals that will buy for kids. Mm-hmm. And it just fills me with such joy, yes. knowing that we've been able to do that. And that all of you have been able to help do that. So thank you so much for your contributions. And I'm excited. The silent auction on January 7th is going to be fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. So everyone stay tuned for that. Be ready for that. And also, there's word on the street that there's going to be a karaoke night. What is your go-to karaoke song, Kristen?
You know, I've been back and forth on a couple, and I've gotten a few suggestions. And so I have to really think about my own range, right? I can't just sing anything. It has to be something that I can pull off without hurting people's ears. But yeah, I haven't decided on one just yet.
Okay.
And who knows? Maybe there'll be more than one. I don't know. I have to admit, I am a huge karaoke fan, and it has been many, many, many years since I've had an opportunity to get mm-hmm. in front of a microphone and just let it all loose. So we'll see. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing all you postables sing songs too.
Yeah.
Not just going to be the actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Ramona, we're looking at you.
Yeah, Ramona.
Ramona.
Bring your hairbrush.
Yes.
Exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, we're so excited for that. So Postables, make sure you donate to No Kid Hungry. You can check out the link in our profile and Kristen's bio as well. And on the Rama Drama, I think website, or if not their website, then their Instagram will have it. And now is the time to play our little game with you.
Awesome.
So we've played this with all of your other co-stars, except for you. Basically it is SSD teen beat rapid fire questions about your castmates and yourself. Like, you can answer. And we also have their answers written down. We went back to look and see what they said.
Hey Postables, we're just taking a quick little break to talk about something fun. How would you like to party with some of your favorite Postables? Eric, Kristen, Crystal, Jeff, Zach, and Gregory. If you enjoy Signed, Sealed, Delivered, which you all do, you're listening to our podcast, you don't want to miss out on the Rama Drama Live event coming to West Palm Beach, Florida in January of 2022. Spend the weekend escaping into the Rama Drama world and meeting your favorite on-screen celebrities. These fan-focused in-person parties cater to movie lovers just like you. Make memories, leave with photos, autographs, swag, and an exceptional experience to last a lifetime. Join us in West Palm Beach on January 7th through 9th at the Palm Beach Convention Center. You can buy your tickets at ramadrama.com.
Okay, so out of the four of you, who is most likely to play a prank?
Me.
Okay.
Yep. Everyone pretty much agrees, although Eric did say Jeff.
Yes.
No, Eric, Jeff does not play pranks. It's all me. And then I sort of like get Crystal in on it.
Okay. I see. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm like the brains and I like wrangle people
in. Yeah, I'm definitely the prankster of the group for sure. And also I got Martha involved too, which was fun one time. I tricked Jeff.
Can you share that story real quick?
I think I've told this story, so if it's repetitive, I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So Jeff was in later than the rest of us that day that he was coming in, and he had one scene, and it was, you know, not too much dialogue. And so we convinced, Crystal and I convinced Martha to text him and say that she had to redo some rewrites because that happens a lot. She had to do some rewrites and she needs his help. And could he please, before he came in, memorize this section? And she wrote it. Like, this was like a full on, like she wrote a paragraph. It was like a page long, and sent it to him saying that he had to memorize it and shoot it that afternoon.
Oh God.
And he totally bought it. He was terrified.
Oh my
god. And then
gosh.
He got to set and we were like, ha ha. And he was so mad. Oh my god.
So mad. Oh, yeah. That's
and
so
giving
funny.
And giving him the diaper care package with the gravel and everything. But that was all me.
Yeah. Yes, that was funny. I remember seeing that clip. Yeah. Super funny. All right. Next question. Who is most likely to burst out into random song between takes?
Who is most likely to burst? Jeff.
Oh, okay.
And Eric does too.
Okay. Yeah. That's what everybody else said. Everybody else said Eric.
Yeah. Eric or Jeff. I mean, Eric actually does it more often. Jeff though is more memorable because it's always like crazy, like hardcore rap, like Biggie or Dr. Dre or something. And so it's always just like, what? Yeah.
That's so random.
It's very random. That's why you're like, what's happening?
That's right. Who is most likely to break out into a little dance in between takes?
I got it. Crystal?
That's what everyone else said.
Yes. Okay. Although I will say, after this this movie and seeing some of the behind the scenes, particularly a Instagram story that Crystal put out there, I would have thought you. You and the lady.
That's in the makeup and hair trailer. Yes. Yeah, that's a little different than on set. There's a lot more privacy in that hair and makeup trailer. Or so you thought. Crystal Lowe.
Oh man, that was so funny though. I'm not gonna lie, I might have played it a few times. Like,
dude, she got me. I had no clue. Did. And I was vibing. I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, so great.
Oh dear.
Who is the best dancer?
Crystal.
Okay, yeah. That's what Crystal said.
Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah.
Who is the most likely to be found at craft services between takes?
Crystal.
Everyone else said Jeff.
No, Crystal.
Okay. Good to know.
She's always after the candy.
Yes.
Although Jeff does like his craft service as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it would be a tie between those two.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, got to have something sweet or munchy. Mm-hmm. All right. Who is most likely to laugh at an inappropriate time during filming?
Me.
Yes. Unanimous.
Yes. Jeff said, Kristen, hands down, without question.
So true.
Yeah, and I think he said...
I'm so bad.
Yeah. Well, he said something about how, like, it's in the morning, and then he said something like, Kristen just comes tittering in, laughing about something, and then you can't look at her, and then everybody else will start laughing, and he says, yeah, he totally threw you under the bus there.
Yeah, it's okay, because it's true. I don't deny it.
Now, this next one's a little more controversial. No one can agree. Uh-oh. Who contributes the most money to the swear jar?
Oh, well, it's a toss up between Crystal and I. For sure. And I think I would say, oh, man. Yeah, actually, on this last movie, I think I might have taken the cake. I may have been the one. And it's interesting, you know, I was shooting the boys for months prior to and during, like I had to fly back to Toronto. And that is a really raunchy show with different language. And so I would say that, you know, when it's on the tip of your tongue for so long, it just like kind of comes out.
Yeah.
In fact, no, I better not tell that story. Anyway. Maybe at Rama Drama.
Okay.
Where there's no cameras to, you know, I can deny it. I need deniability. But remind me if you catch me in a vulnerable moment.
Okay. We'll corner you.
Yes. We'll corner you sometime between January 7th and 9th. Be prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
But the real question is, what happens to the money in the swear jar? Where does it go?
I think one year it went to, like, we did a draw for it. It went to a crew member.
Oh, okay.
I think one year we donated it to a charity. And then I'm not quite sure what happened to it the other times, but it's really never, it's kind of something that happens unless we plan for it, which we only did the one time where we did the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of something that the props department or set deck department deals with afterwards. Cause when we wrap, we're all just so like, oh my God, we're done. And
yeah,
it's kind of, we're like all just going in our random directions. So
yeah.
Makes sense.
Who is the best baker or cook?
Me?
Nobody really knew. Jeff said his was the best answer. He said probably one of the other three because they're parents and they haven't killed their children yet.
amazing answer. That's an amazing answer. Yeah.
So no, all of you, because you haven't killed your children.
Yeah, I like Jeff's answer. Let's go with that.
Okay, our last question is, if the four of you, yourself, Eric, Crystal, and Jeff, are trapped on an island, what would each of you be doing until you were rescued?
Oh my God. Okay. Eric would be reading. Jeff would be running from any type of insect or wildlife. Crystal would be sun tanning.
That's what Eric said.
And I would probably be doing the opposite of sun tanning, trying to find anywhere out of the sun, because I burn like crazy and would turn into a lobster whilst foraging for berries.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, got to get the sustenance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone's got to feed you. Yeah. I guess that's why you're I
want to know what the other answers were.
Okay. Eric said that Jeff would be trying to fish and be frustrated because he couldn't catch anything. He said he would be trying to build shelter, and you and Crystal would be working on your tans.
Yeah. Well, obviously Mabius doesn't realize that I can't tan. So you got that one wrong.
And then Crystal said that Eric would be dragging driftwood. Jeff would be getting agitated. God,
that's right. Jeff would be
Jeff would be agitated, trying to figure out how they're going to get off. Crystal said she herself would be on Twitter arguing with people, and that you would be writing an emotional plea to the government to get off the island.
Good. I like her answers. Yeah. Those track.
And then Jeff said Eric would be building a shelter. Christy would keep Jeff from dying, mapping the area. And then Crystal would be putting Jeff somewhere and tell him not to move, because he'd probably like do something, break something. And Jeff would be telling fun stories at the end of the day.
True. Yep. Okay. So really, maybe this is the only one who got the tan. That tan thing was just so dead wrong.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we did throw that at him, and he was kind of like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, thank you so much again for your time. It was such a pleasure catching up with you. Super fun. And we cannot wait.
My pleasure, honestly.
Talk to you in real life, in person. Yeah. In Florida next
I know.
Year.
It's a very exciting thing that we get to look forward to. I'm really thinking of it as my like big Christmas present, because it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be nice weather, hopefully. Yes. Fingers crossed. And I get to meet everyone and share some quality time together, so it'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah. And Postables, don't forget that the Canadian premiere of The Vows We Have Made airs on Vision TV tomorrow, Saturday, November 13th at 2 Eastern. And if you are in the U.S., get your Twitter fingers on, help support the Canadian Postables. Mm-hmm. Let's get it trending. And we will hopefully see you all at Rama Drama in January. Bye.